RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, Week in Review, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says military police must be wary of ISIS. Indonesia's Investment Coordinating Board set to facilitate South Korean investment. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded personnel of the military and police to be concerned about the existence of terrorism, radicalism, and the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, in particular. It was stated by President while visiting Papua on Saturday. According to President Joko Widodo, all countries are concerned about the existence of the ISIS. The presence of this radical group is a subject of discussion at various conferences. The head of state reiterated that terrorism and radicalism must be handled by the military and police properly. He emphasized that stability and infrastructural development were the two keys to developing a country. The government, he noted, focuses on the development of infrastructure, which should be supported by political stability and security. Indonesia's Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, head Frankie Sebarani said in a press release on Saturday that the South Korean Trade, Industry and Energy Minister has requested Indonesian government to support the country's investment in Indonesia. Frankie expressed the commitment during his official visit to Seoul, South Korea on Thursday, to attend a meeting with South Korean Trade, Industry and Energy Minister. Frankie explained that BKPM had facilitated about 100 investment projects, both foreign and domestic, with a total investment of 400 trillion rupiahs, or about $30.7 billion. The investment projects include those in mining, trade, power, basic chemical industry, and pharmacy, sugar, plantation, metal, and tourism. Research conducted by the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, INDEP, concluded that there is a decline in a number of economic indicators in the first quarter of the year due to the weakness of stakeholders. Eni Sri Hartato, INDEP director, said recently that there are no breakthroughs in policies and there is failure in the transformation of the economic structure. One of the weaknesses is reflected in the portion of investment in gross domestic product that dropped from 32.5% into 31.94%. She also said that economic growth is still also supported by traditional factors such as household consumption. Eni further said that the absence of competent leaders from the president to the ministers to move the economy and the slow budget absorption also contributed to the decline. Chinese integrated steel company Fujian Wugang Group has set to make an investment in Indonesia through cooperation with the PT Tekindo Mining Lestari TML to build a smelter plant. Both companies established a joint venture company called PT Teka Mining Resources TMR to build a $1.2 billion worth of smelter with a capacity of 900,000 nickel pig iron NPI. TMR President Director Ko Jong said on Saturday, Fujian Wugang is an experienced company in the integrated steel industry. He also said, during the smelter groundbreaking in Maluku, that Fujian possesses high technology in metal processing that focuses on stainless steel and smelter industries. Gao Chong expected that the smelter will boost local economy and asked for government and local communities' supports. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Immigration Directorate General nabbed more than 1,000 foreigners for immigration violations during nationwide three-day sting to enforce immigration law that lasted from Tuesday to Thursday. Head of the Investigation Subdirectorate Bambang Chatur said foreigners were arrested for visa and work permit violations, illegal entry, and using fictitious sponsors. He added that Chinese nationals made up the bulk of those arrested, which also included British, German, South Korean, and Bangladeshi nationals. Chatur also said the operation, which would be held quarterly, involved 120 immigration offices across the country to monitor foreigners entering and those who were already in the country. Their monitoring involves border control management, enabling immigration offices to track foreigners' movement across Indonesia, as well as monitoring the Foreigners Monitoring Information System, PORA, which allows the public to file reports to immigration offices on the presence of suspicious foreigners. Marking the 23rd World Water Day, seven ministries on Saturday signed a mutual agreement to revitalize the national movement of water-saving partnerships at the Pluit Reservoir City Park. All this took place while Jakarta's demand for clean water goes unmet. The city needs up to 1.5 million cubic meters of clean water every day, but municipal water operators Aetra Air Jakarta and Perusahaan Air Minum Leonais Jaya can only meet around half the city's demands. A water expert from University of Indonesia, Firdaus Ali, hopes President Joko Widodo's administration will seriously reconsider the plan to build 49 dams as he considers the number of dams in the country to lack India, Japan and United States and China. Hakuho, Japanese sumo champion for 8 consecutive years, drew big smile when photographed alongside Indonesian ambassador to Japan, Yusron Iza Mahendra, and other guests in Batik promotional event at Wisma Duta, Indonesian Embassy, Tokyo. The appearance of sumo wrestlers is believed to be a good strategy to promote Indonesian batik because sumo is a kind of sport that has special class in Japanese society. Yusron hoped that batik will not only exist in the heart of Indonesian people, but also lives in the hearts of other countries in the globe, especially Japan. According to Yusron, kimono with batik motifs is incredible and giving way for new hopes for batik future. The Indonesia-Japan Collaboration Batik Exhibition was held by the Indonesian Embassy in Tokyo in cooperation with Cross-Cultural Artisan Association. The exhibited batik is a collaborative work between Indonesian and Japanese artists that results in a high-quality batik called refined batik. Well, listener, that was the news.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Steve, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during this week. Listener, the first news comes from Pangkal Pinang, Bangka Belitung. Animal lovers of Bangka Island, or ALOBI, assisted by the Natural Resources Conservation Agency, or BKSDA, and Bangka Belitung Provincial Ranger, released two sloths to the wild in a Law Protected Animals Conservation Program. According to ALOBI coordinator, Langkasani, the two animals are in Bangka Belitung Province and released in Tumangko Conservation Forest in Central Bangka. He added that the animals are expected to adapt with and grow in the wild. The agency also hoped for public participation to show care with the animals protected by the country. Now we move to Pontianak, West Kalimantan. Pontianak administration through the local trade industry, cooperative and small medium business service encourage managers of hotels and restaurants in the city to own halal certificate from the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency or BPOM and the Indonesian Ulema Council or MUI to attract tourists. According to the head of Pontianak Trade Industry Cooperative and Small Medium Business Service, Utin Srilena Chandramiri, this effort is expected to remove doubt from both local and international tourists who visit Pontianak to enjoy various typical foods from Pontianak and West Kalimantan. Utin stated if hotels and restaurants have halal certificate, food and beverages they serve are certainly clean, healthy, and safe to consume. In accordance with ASEAN Economic Community that will be effective by the end of 2015, she invites all people to introduce Pontianak typical food like food and beverage from aloe vera to the tourists. The last news come from Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara. East Nusa Tenggara, or NTT, provincial government encouraged young animation makers to develop and work by holding animation workshop, then learn and create. The statement was made by Assistant 2 of East Nusa Tenggara Regional Secretariat, Jelahu Andreas, when reading the speech of East Nusa Tenggara Governor, Franz Leburaya, in the opening of the event at Kuada Penfui Building, Kupang, last Wednesday. According to Jelahu, local potential of East Nusa Tenggara is interesting to manage, especially its folk stories and traditional games. The provincial government finds a way to show local potential and bring out tourism places in East Nusa Tenggara to realize the idea of tourism province. This animation workshop is expected to direct the young generation, like students and Karantarena youth group, to develop basic knowledge of animation, filmmaking, and creation in animation. Besides, it is expected that the participation have vocation knowledge, which is then used for knowledge with economic impact. The animation workshop was organized by East Nusa Tenggara Tourism and Creative Economy Service, participated by students of Widya Mandira Kupang University, Uyelindo Kupang University, Nusa Cendana Kupang University, SMK Giovanni Kupang Christian Senior High School, SMK 6 Kupang Vocational School, and SMA N3 Kupang State Senior High School. Listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Steve. Thank you for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Daulat Pane, in Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start with the event on May 10, 1922, the birthday of Rosihan Anwar. Rosihan Anwar was an Indonesian writer, humanist, and historian. He is also known as the Indonesian press figures. Rosihan was born in West Sumatra on May 10, 1922. Rosihan began his journalistic career as a reporter for Asia Raya newspaper during the Japanese occupation in 1943 to become an editor in Siasat Weekly magazine from 1947 to 1957 and in Pedoman from 1948 to 1961. He also contributed to Indonesian film world by establishing the National Film Company in 1950 along with Usmar Ismail. Rosihan also liked to write poetry. Many of his poetries were published in the Asia and Merdeka newspapers and also political and cultural weekly magazine Siasat. Before he passed away on April 14, 2011, he is completing a memoir of his love with his wife with the title Belahan Jiwa or Soulmate, a memoir of Rosihan Anwar with Siti Juraida. Next, an event on May 10, 1933, an action in burning books in Germany. On May 10, 1933, in all universities in Germany, the students set fire to the works of others who did not get along with Najis' ideology. Since a few weeks earlier, the students had been taking books of writers and journalists from public and university libraries. For them, the books contained the anti-German thoughts, or the authors were assessed as the enemy of Nazi. On May 10, 1933, during the night, about 70,000 people gathered in the Opernplatz, Berlin. Students carried more 20,000 books with trucks and other vehicles. Among the writers were Hendrik Mann, Erich Maria Remarque, and Joachim Ringelnatz. We end with the event happened on May 10, 2012, bombing of Damascus. A pair of car bombs exploded outside a military intelligence complex in Damascus, Syria on May 10, 2012. The bomb that contained more than 1,000 kilograms of explosives tore the outer side of a 10-floor building. 55 people were confirmed dead and nearly 400 others injured. The bomb became the deadliest attack since the Syrian civil war. Syrian government declared terrorists funded by foreign parties were behind the attack. Well, listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, entitled President Joko Widodo Attends the Inauguration of Pan-National Working Meeting. I'm Steve. Listener, there was something interesting in the inauguration of coordinators and working meeting of the National Mandate Party, or PAN, on Wednesday, May the 6th. It was the attendance of President Joko Widodo to give speech. In fact, PAN is one of the parties in the Red and White Coalition, which is the rival of the Great Indonesian Coalition, which endorses President Joko Widodo and the current administration. The event was getting interesting because the leaders of parties from the Red and White Coalition and Great Indonesia Coalition, as well as officials from the state top institutions and cabinet ministers, sat side by side. In his speech, President Joko Widodo showed his happiness for the attendance of all leaders from Red and White Coalition and Great Indonesia Coalition. According to him, togetherness, harmony, and unity is seen in the attendance of all party leaders. The president added that unity and togetherness like this is important because development cannot run well without the stability of security politics. Economic depreciation, like what happens now, also needs togetherness of all elements of this nation to face it. Meanwhile, Chairman of the National Mandate Party, or PAN, Zulkifli Hasan, expressed his happiness for the attendance of party top officials, important figures in Indonesia, state top officials, and businessmen. In his opinion, the attendance of the figures shows that strengthening social bond is still put forwards, despite different political choice. In his speech, Zulkifli Hasan also stated that regeneration in PAN has run well as reflected in the period of 2015 to 2020 that will be dominated by young people under 45 years old. For the Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla, the attendance of President Joko Widodo in the inauguration of PAN coordinators shows that Great Indonesia Coalition has blended with Red and White Coalition. Moreover, PAN, according to Yusuf Kalla, is a political party which supports the right one and criticizes the government's policy if it is not in the right track. He evaluated that the blending of Great Indonesia Coalition and Red and White Coalition has happened since the General Elections Commission, or KPU, ratified the victory of Joko Widodo Yusuf Kalla. Head of PAN Approval Assembly, Sutrisno Bahir, highly appreciates the attending Indonesian political figures. He hoped that rigidity, which happened in the national politics, will be disappeared following the togetherness of political leaders in PAN event. Listener, that ends Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is Week in Review featuring several events that happening during this week. I'm Dalat Pane. Stay tuned. We start with the events on Monday. A suspicious package containing white powder and a threatening letter was found at Indonesia's embassy in the Australian capital on Monday, the Foreign Affairs Ministry has reported. The package was reported to police at about 10:45 a.m. local time, according to Australian media, prompting police, Australian Capital Territory ACT, Fire and Rescue, and Hazardous Material Specialists to be called to the scene. Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, spokesman of the Foreign Affairs Ministry, said that a packet containing suspicious powder and a threat letter was discovered at the Canberra Embassy. Embassy officials handed the package to the Hazmat Squad of the Canberra Police, which deals with emergency incidents involving hazardous materials. The incident comes a week after Australian drug traffickers Andrew Chan and Muran Sukumaran were executed, along with six other inmates by firing squad in Indonesia, plunging Indonesia-Australia relations to a new low. Still on Monday, the socialization about four pillars of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, continued to be implemented to various regions in Indonesia. It is now Hasanuddin University turned in Makassar, South Sulawesi Province, which becomes a place to hold socialization four pillars of MPR in cooperation with Student Executive Board, Faculty of Forestry, Hasanuddin University. The event that was held at the House of Hasanuddin University's scientific meeting on Monday was officially opened by Vice Chairman of MPR, Wahyudin. It was attended by 200 participants from various faculties in Hasanuddin University. The efforts to recall and re-understand the noble values of the nation, according to Wahyudin, were very effectively to be carried out at present when young generation faced with invasion of globalization as a fortress of the negative impacts on globalization, which, if ignored, would gradually erode the character of the young generation of the nation. We move to Thursday. The International Maritime Event Sail Tomini and Bualemo Festival 2015 was jointly launched by nine ministers, two governors and two district heads in Jakarta. The theme of the annual event is The Pearl of Ecuador for Future Life, and its logo depicts a Pinisi traditional sailing boat of Sulawesi. The logo and the theme are in accordance with the vision of President Joko Widodo in developing Indonesia, the world's largest archipelagic nation, as a maritime axis. Indonesian President Joko Widodo once said that Indonesia's future was on the sea and that the government would continue to strengthen its maritime sovereignty in line with its declaration of the concept on the world maritime axis. Sharing the President's view, Coordinating Minister for Culture and Human Resources Development, Puan Maharani, while launching Sail Tomini, expressed her optimism that the event would help to promote tourism in Central Sulawesi and Gorontalo provinces and improve the welfare of the local people. Still on Thursday, Indonesia is expanding its market share for its domestic products in the Polish market, where the two countries have potential in terms of trade. Indonesian Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel said in a press release received in Jakarta on Thursday that the main target of Indonesia in Poland is to expand its market share for domestic products to compete with the competitors from the ASEAN countries whose products already dominate Poland's Mariupol wholesale market center. Another issue discussed in the meeting was the developments of the 9th WTO Ministerial Conference in Bali, as well as economic partnership through the framework of Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. The trade mission is to achieve the target of a threefold increase in export, where for Poland in 2019, the non-oil export are expected to amount to $1.1 billion. We move to Wednesday. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has said that Indonesia still needs overseas labor placement to help cope with unemployment and scarce job opportunities at home. Kompas.com quoted him as saying on Wednesday that, of course, the central government has a plan to stop sending informal workers by 2018, but the placement of workers in the formal sector will continue. What the government wants to stop is the sending of migrant workers employed as domestic helpers. Manpower Minister Hanif Dakiri announced recently that the government has stopped sending informal workers to 21 countries in the Middle East following a rise in problematic incidents. The decision was made following the recent execution by the Saudi Arabian government of two Indonesian citizens. The government has in fact imposed a moratorium of labor supply to Saudi Arabia, Kuwait and Jordan since August 2011, but the policy proved ineffective with the flow of informal workers to the three countries continuing. We move to Thursday. 1,194 Indonesian nationals are still in Yemen, mostly in places considered safe. Indonesian Ambassador to Yemen, Wajid Fauji, stated in Jakarta on Thursday. It was estimated that around 250 Indonesians are not registered. They have not had the opportunity to report about their presence to the embassy. According to Wajid, most of them who are still in Yemen are staying in relatively safe cities such as Tarim and Al-Mukalla. However, if the situation deteriorates and affects the two cities, they will be evacuated. The Indonesian embassy is still operational but no longer in Sana'a, as the building was destroyed in airstrikes by the Saudi coalition. Ambassador Wajid explained the Indonesian embassy in Yemen still operates but is controlled from outside Sana'a. The embassy's control has been moved to a safer place in Al-Hudaydah, Yemen. The relationship between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea, PNG, continues to improve, especially after the establishment of a comprehensive partnership. Indonesian Ambassador to PNG and Republic of Solomon Islands, Andreas Sitepu, stated. Ambassador Sitepu noted in Jakarta on Friday that the relationships between the two nations, which were initiated almost 40 years ago, are very sound. At least this is what was said by the PNG officials. According to Sitepu, the relationship between the two countries was not at its best due to poor communication between the governments and communities of Indonesia and PNG. He added that the citizens of PNG also lack knowledge about Indonesians. They are of the viewpoint that the Indonesians were deceitful as they had abandoned their Melanesian families. Moreover, negative propaganda has been spread by third parties who did not want Indonesia and PNG to share good relations. Therefore, Indonesia and PNG should continue to strengthen the relations between their communities by prompting people-to-people contacts. Still on Friday, KRI Dr. Suharto 900 hospital shift will extend its development from 100 to 200 days annually. This was confirmed by Coordinating Maritime First Minister Indriyono Susilo. The cost of the ship's operation, medicines and medical staff, including doctors, for the additional 100 days would be covered by the Office of the Maritime Affairs Coordinating Minister, said Indriyono speaking about the ship in Jayapura, West Papua on Friday. The KRI Dr. Suharto 900 will provide health care to residents in Jayapura and surrounding areas from this month. The additional 100-day operation is part of the Millennium Development Goal programs, one of which is to curb the maternal mortality rate. According to Indriyono, the KRI Dr. Suharto 900 is the only hospital ship in Indonesia and the ASEAN region, so it must maximize its function. We move to Saturday. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said during a visit to Papua on Saturday that he hopes to speed development in the eastern province. He added that he would not only visit Papua, but would also ensure that his visit have an impact on development in the region. President Joko Widodo meanwhile said the development of the Trans-Papua Road Network must be finished by 2019. Well, listener, that was Week in Review for this week.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded personnel of the military and police to be concerned about the existence of terrorism, radicalism, and the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS in particular. According to President Jokowi, all countries are concerned about the existence of the ISIS. The presence of this radical group is a subject of discussion at various conferences. Indonesia's Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, had Franky Sibarani said in a press release on Saturday that the South Korean Trade, Industry and Energy Minister has requested Indonesian government to support the country's investment in Indonesia. Research conducted by the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, INDEP, concluded that there is a decline in a number of economic indicators in the first quarter of the year due to the weakness of stakeholders. Chinese integrated steel company Fujian Wukong Group has said to make an investment in Indonesia through cooperation with PT Tekindo Mining Lestari to build a smelter plant. The Indonesian Immigration Directorate General nabbed more than 1,000 foreigners for immigration violations during nationwide three-day sting to enforce immigration law that lasted from Tuesday to Thursday. Marking the 23rd World Water Day, seven ministers on Saturday signed a mutual agreement to revitalize the national movement of water-saving partnerships at the Fluid Reservoir City Park. All this took place while Jakarta's demand for clean water goes unmet. Hakuho, Japanese sumo champion for 8 consecutive years, drew a big smile when photographed alongside Indonesian ambassador to Japan, Yusron Izra Mahendra, and at a Gas in Batik promotional event at Wisma Duta, Indonesian embassy in Tokyo. The appearance of sumo wrestler is believed to be a good strategy to promote Indonesian batik because sumo is a kind of sport that has special class in Japanese society. Well, listener, that was News in Brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will take you in a tour to Mount Krakatau. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Indonesia is a country that has the biggest number of volcanoes, one of which is Mount Anak Krakatau, which lies in the Sunda Strait, the strait that separates the island of Jawa and Sumatra. Mount Anak Krakatau is located in Lampung, and it has the charm of outstanding natural beauty of the sea, island, and mountains. Anak Krakatau has inherited a dazzling splendor from its parent, the world-renowned Mount Krakatau, which now has already disappeared. Mount Krakatau itself is a phenomenal mountain renowned for its devastating eruption more than a century ago. It erupted in 1883 and killed more than 30,000 lives. Though it was located in Indonesia, the massive eruption then was fed up to other continents and generated a new mountain now known as Mount Anak Krakatau. Mount Krakatau is now considered as dead, and its legacy can be seen from the proliferation of green, fertile land as a result of the volcanic eruptions. While Mount Anak Krakatau, which literally means the child of Krakatau, is still active with a scenery of black sand and boulders everywhere. Although the state of the mountain is still active, Mount Anak Krakatau can be enjoyed from up close. You can even climb it. Don't be afraid, because there are guides who know the easy and safe track to accompany you. Of course, before climbing Mount Anak Krakatau, you should always monitor when and whether it's safe to climb this mountain. There are things to consider before you climb it. You are advised to go with a group while climbing Mount Krakatau and follow the guide, and also preferably leave before 3 p.m. This is because the waves are often very big and the fog can make your return trip more difficult. The fee for a single guide is around $100,000 or less than $10. Mount Anak Krakatau is very challenging to climb and very interesting to watch from up close. Ridge to ridge Mount Anak Krakatau is relatively easy, that is from Canti Kalianda, South Lampung. If you are from Jakarta, you must go to Merak first, and then cross to Bakauheni in Sumatra by ferry or Roro. This trip takes about 2.5 hours. From Bakauheni, you proceed to the port of Tanjung Bom by renting a car. Car rental rate is around 150,000 rupiah to 200,000 rupiah. And it takes about 2 hours to the port of Tanjung Bom or Port Canti. From this port, then you can rent a boat to cross to Mount Anak Krakatau. The trip from the port of Tanjung Bom and Canti takes approximately 3 hours. To anticipate sea waves in Sunda Strait waters, which is often unfriendly, before crossing towards Mount Anak Krakatau, you should fill the stomach and take some seasick medicine. To enjoy Mount Anak Krakatau from close by, you can go first to Labuan Port in Banten. From here, you can rent a wooden boat or fishing boat which can carry up to 20 people. Regarding accommodation, you need not worry because there is Anyer Beach Resort not far from the mountain with a wide range of inns. From Anyer Beach or Labuan to Mount Anak Krakatau by speedboat takes approximately 4 hours. Climbing Mount Anak Krakatau is only allowed until reaching the back of the mountain course, the allowable safe limit. Even this part is already vulnerable and there is only a hot black sand there. From the height of the slope, clearly visible some islands like Panjang or Rakata Kecil, Sertung, Rakata Besar, Siberut, and Panaitan Islands. In addition, you can also see some coral islands surrounded by blue sea. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder introducing Mount Anak Krakatau in Lampung Province. Until next edition with other interesting topics. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing World Lupus Day. Stay tuned. The World Lupus Day proclamation was first developed in 2004 when an international steering committee representing lupus organizations from 13 different nations met in Eton, United Kingdom to organize the first observance of World Lupus Day. The proclamation is a call to action for governments around the world to increase their financial support for lupus research, awareness, and patient services. Each year, the steering committee revises the proclamation to reflect the emerging issues that people with lupus around the world must face every day. The proclamation serves to guide a single voice to all individuals affected by this devastating and debilitating chronic disease. World Health Organization in 2004 introduced and proclaimed May the 10th as World Lupus Day. The organization, together with lupus organizations from around the world, call on societies and individuals to raise funds for lupus research, targeting educational programs for medical personnel, patients, and the general public, as well as to introduce to the whole world that lupus is an important public health issue. World Lupus Day was then announced in conjunction with the 7th International Lupus Congress in New York, which was held to improve public knowledge and awareness about lupus. Lupus is a disease associated with the human immune, otherwise known as autoimmune diseases. The disease is suspected to be affected by two factors, namely internal human body and the environment. But in general, it is not certain what causes this disease. Persons with lupus has an antibody cells attack from inside his own body. As expressed by the founder and chairman of the Lupus Foundation of Indonesia, Tiara Safitri. It has something to do with excessive antibody production. Antibody production should be balanced. For instance, in HIV, the patient has a deficiency in antibody production. In lupus, it is excessive. Well, this shouldn't happen. It should be balanced. What if deficit? Automatically, if there is deficiency, virus will easily spread in our own bodies. But what if excessive? Won't it be better? No, with the excess virus troops will attack the body itself, the organs in the body. Although a person with lupus has a lot of problems in many organ or multi-organ, and so far has not been able to recover fully, basically they can run a normal life.
Ketika kita mau untuk lupus itu tidak,
if we don't want lupus to be active, let us live the patterns that have been set for us. Regular treatment controlled by doctors, a healthy lifestyle. I'm sure it will quiet down lupus. Our friends, person with lupus, can live a normal life like any other people. Currently, there are about 16,000 lupus patients recorded by the foundation. But according to Savitri, it has been estimated that there are about 1.5 million people with lupus throughout Indonesia. In addition, at least more than 5 million people worldwide are affected by lupus, in which the disease was attacking mostly women of childbearing age. Thus, Indonesia is among countries that have people with lupus in large enough quantities. Together with her friends, Tiara Savitri attempt to socialize lupus to various regions in Indonesia. Currently, care for lupus community has developed in a number of regions in Indonesia, such as in Yogyakarta, Bandung, Palembang, North Kalimantan, Belitung, Medan, and Padang. It also cooperates with relevant stakeholders, such as pharmaceutical companies, hospital, physicians, to get a cheap discounted services. Although it has gained the support of the Social Security Agency, it continues to work for people with lupus to get government subsidies like cancer. Because at present, the Social Security Agency only pay for about 20% of the cost for treatment, whereas most patients must take drugs in the long term. Tiara Savitri hopes people with lupus in Indonesia can have a quality and productive life. That was Miss Leni today. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Leni on Indonesia.
Is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listener, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And as of January 2015, you can listen to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, via streaming in two channels, namely via indonesia.rriworldservice.com for Indonesian, English, Mandarin, Japanese, Arabic, German, French, and Spanish services, and also english.rriworldservice.com for Indonesia Today in English language. You can also listen via mobile application through your smartphone by downloading RRI Play for smartphone with Android or iOS. You will be able to listen to Voice of Indonesia broadcasts both on demand and also audio streaming, and also other programs of RRI local stations across Indonesia. So you can tune in our station everywhere. Or you can also listen to Voice of Indonesia programs through TuneIn or RDO. Well, listener, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Hugo Matten in Belgium. In his email, Mr. Hugo Matten said that he was happy to listen on 9526 kHz shortwave to the Voice of Indonesia. And after this time, he sent a few times a reception report online. As he is still waiting for a reply, he must assume that the reports are misplaced or lost. Hello, Mr. Hugo Matten. Thank you for your email on our broadcast. We are really sorry because we have never received your reception report, but you don't have to worry because we will send our QSL card to your home soon. So please be patient to wait for it. Well, Mr. Hugo Matten, we are looking forward to receiving your next letter or email. Listener, before we continue to answer emails, we will introduce you to one of Indonesian bands, Krispatih Band. Krispatih is a band with five personnel, namely Badai, Anton, Fandi, who replaces Sami as the vocalist, Arif, and Andika. This band was established on April 21, 2003, initiated by four students of Indonesian Musician Institute. One of Krispatih albums, which was released in 2005, received Platinum Awards in 2006. In the same year, they received an award as the Best Newcomer from SCTV Music Award 2006. In the early 2010, Krispatih was successful to hold their first concert in Hong Kong. And that was a glimpse of one of Indonesian bands, Krispatih. And before we play another song by Krispatih, we will reply an email from MD Sahinur Alam in Bangladesh. He listened to our station on April 21st, 2015 from 1300 hours to 1400 hours UTC on frequency of 9526 kHz, and the simple code that described in the reception quality of our broadcast is 33333. Hello, Mr. Sahinur Alam. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. It is your first email, isn't it? And do you have any favorite program? Have you visited our website, www.voi.co.id? Because through our website, you can find out your favorite program if you miss it. Mr. Sainur Alam, we hope you will always be our regular listener, and please keep sending your reception report of our broadcast. And we are looking forward to receiving your next letter or email. Thank you. Well, special for you and our regular listener, we will play a song from Krispatih, Telah Menyesal, or in English means regrets. Enjoy the song.
Oh, tak pernah kusangkali kehilafanku yang kini membuatmu jauh. Terlambat aku membuat kau mengerti, hati ini telah menyesal.
Listener, now we continue to reply an email from Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. Thank you for your email dated April 24, 2015. And thank you for being a regular listener. And we are very happy because you can listen to our broadcast clearly via streaming. Listener, before we end listener's mailbag, we will give you information concerning our program. In 2015, English Service will still have network programs with several other local stations, such as with RRI Bukit Tinggi in West Sumatra every Monday, RRI Denpasar in Bali on Tuesday, with RRI Ternate North Maluku, and RRI Bandung in West Java on Wednesdays, with RRI Samarinda is Kalimantan on Thursdays, and with RRI Banjarmasin South Kalimantan every Friday. And in addition to our regular one-hour program via shortwave 9525 kHz, we also have various kinds of interesting and informative programs broadcast via streaming on english.rriworldservice.com. For example, on Monday, we have Voice of the Young, and on Tuesday, we have Know Our Music. On Wednesdays, we have a talk program called The Forum. On Thursday, we have book and film review. On Thursday, we have also Meet With. And on Friday, we have Sports World. And on Saturday, we have Saturday Chats. And on Sundays, we have Indonesian Women. Well, listener, unfortunately, we have to sign off now. We appreciate very much your reception report on our broadcast. So please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook. We have two fan pages of Facebook, namely Voice of Indonesia and also Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service. And you can also follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. And listener, in this listener's mailbag, I will say hello to our regular listeners and also our regular fan page visitors. They are Amir Jamil, Azam Ali Somro, Shamia Arshad, Amir Manzur, Jinaid DX, Sahzad Shabir in Pakistan. We also have regular listener in Bangladesh, namely Jahangir Alamanto. And also in Indonesia, we have Rudy Shihab and Barek Sanga. And in Egypt, we have Hanan Osman. Thank you for being our regular listener. And keep on listening to our program. And listener, we are organizing Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. And we have aired the questions. And you can join the quiz by answering the questions. Who knows, you are one of the lucky winners to win the grand prize, namely visiting Indonesia for free. And for further information, you can visit www.voi.co.id. I'm Anhya Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.